previously on Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget that companies like Monsanto have gone to countries where the agricultural industry is suffering and said, if you grow GM crops, your farmers will have an easier time growing and it will be cheaper for them to grow and they will do better with it. And that has not happened.
He's pointing out Monsanto's lies one at a time.
Not to mention you have to pay for your seeds every single year. You can't collect your own seeds and regrow. And those seeds are expensive. Roundup is expensive. The pesticides are expensive. And you use more and more and more. And now, to add insult to injury, you don't even end up with more bushels per acre after all of your misery.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio, weekdays at noon.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. We have a fan favorite returning to the show today, and that's none other than Dr. Mauro DePasquale. We're going to be talking about calorie restriction, intermittent fasting, and fasting. It's all the rage. It's all the craze. Everybody talks about it. We're going to get to the bottom of it today with a man who's been talking about it literally for over 30 years, way before it was popular. So let's bring him on. Hey, Mauro, how you doing?
Not bad, Carl. How's the reception?
How's the what?
is it coming through?
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. You're coming through real good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Okay. That is a true statement. You've been talking about fasting, for over 30 years now, and it's only been popularized lately. But you've always talked about fasting as a part of a polyphasic diet, haven't you?
Yeah, the phase diets that I started a long time ago. I also introduced intermittent fasting there as a way to sort of decrease body weight and keep muscle mass, etc. It works really well with my phase shift diets, like the anabolic diet, metabolic diet. It's just complimentary. I used it myself, as a matter of fact, back in the 70s and 80s, where I varied my weight, believe it or not, starting at about 180, down to 132, and then up to 212 over a period of a couple of years.
And in fact, is that when you held multiple weight class powerlifting records?
Yeah, that was when I won the Worlds and World Games and multiple Canadian championships and Pan American championships, North American, you name it, I won it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So let's fasting has taken on a new audience, right? There's the 5-2 diet. There are people who promote 16-hour intermittent fasting as a way to complement the ketogenic diet, which is another thing that you've been talking for over 30 years about, and it's only been popular recently. Talk about fasting as you see it. Maybe we should do this first. Fasting has been around for thousands of years. It was probably discovered by accident when someone was really hungry, and they realized that instead of feeling horrible, they actually felt somewhat exhilarated. And then lots of religions have introduced fasting as like Ramadan, and even the Catholic religion has some aspects of fasting. Fasting's been around for thousands of years, has it?
Yeah, it's been around as long as man's been on Earth. I mean, let's face it, back before 10,000 years ago, before the agricultural revolution, so to speak, people didn't have food all the time. So intermittent fasting was maybe not the preferred way of eating at the time, but it was a fact at the time. So you picked food. When you got it, you ate it. When you didn't have it, you didn't eat it. So, but, you know, as you mentioned, you know, Ramadan and various religious ways of fasting have been around for a long, long time as well. I'm not sure if people are familiar, but back in 1900, this is about 116 years ago, there was a book called The No Breakfast Plan and Fasting Cure by a doctor, Edward Dewey. Are you familiar with him?
No, not at all. I never even heard of the book.
Okay, well, I read it, and interestingly enough, his whole idea, the whole basis of his plans, the no breakfast plans, was basically not to have lunch, not to have breakfast, and only have lunch and dinner, no snacks, and obviously no breakfast. So here we have sort of the written intermittent fasting primary book. He also had the fasting cure in addition to the no breakfast plan. So where he used water fasting. So he had various aspects of what we're thinking is kind of like a new fad, like it's only been around for maybe 5, 6, 7 years, whatever, and becoming much more popular, when in fact, 116 years ago, Dewey wrote the same thing, wrote about the same intermittent fasting, etc., you know, using, you know, calorie restriction as well.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
And yeah. Now that you say that, I vaguely remember the no breakfast diet, now that you say that.
Yeah, you can get it online. It's free. Just look it up, no breakfast diet, that Dr. Dewey, spelled D-E-W-E-L-Y. D-E-W-E-Y, sorry, D-E-W-E-Y, the no breakfast diet. And you can get the actual entire book. It's fascinating. It's just on the internet. It's available free.
Now, caloric restriction does not seem to be necessary in the face of intermittent fasting. There's lots of research out there that shows that all of the benefits or supposed benefits of caloric restriction can be experienced through intermittent fasting, even just a couple days a week. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, let's face it, all these studies, 99.9% of the studies have been done with rodents, rats, and mice. We're not mice. Under very controlled circumstances, we're not under controlled circumstances. So whether or not this is a good short-term or a good long-term way of losing weight, of increasing body composition, helping you live longer, health span, lifespan, etc. I actually prefer the term of intermittent eating rather than intermittent fasting, because a lot of the fasting regimens, so-called, restrict the time that you can eat, but not necessarily the calories. So you could be taking in the same number of calories, macronutrient composition, etc. Only you're only allowed to do it over, let's say, an 8-hour period.
Interesting. Yes, you're right. You're right. I actually coined the term about 3 years ago, a more ancestral eating pattern, because really this is the way our ancestors ate before modernization, before agricultural revolution. They were hunter-gatherers. They ate during the day. They spent a lot of time looking for food and chewing food. And then they generally didn't eat for long periods of time. They allowed hunger to set in, to be the trigger to look for food. And hunger generally occurred after you woke up in the morning, because you had gone for 12, 15, 18 hours without eating at that point in time. And if you look at the work of Dr. Malin Watfi, in his book of Doves, Diplomats, and Diabetes, one of the amazing pieces of information that come out of that book is that when you eat in the absence of actual hunger, the body does very different things with the food. It does bad things with the food.
No, there's no doubt about that. Actually, Dewey covered that in his book in 1900, where he said that excessive amounts of eating when you're not hungry is dangerous for your health. It's not natural. It causes all kinds of diseases and stuff. I mean, he was way ahead of his time. I mean, some of his writings were a little weird, but you know, overall, the picture was the same as what you're saying. You know, that you eat when you're hungry. As far as breakfast, there's a lot of people that, I mean, if you look at the various intermittent fasting plans that are out there, and there's literally, I think, a new one every day. Some people, you know, say you fast 2 days, 5 days regular eating, alternate day fasting, timed fasting, so you only do it at certain times. You either skip breakfast on some days, or you skip supper on some days, and they all have their ways of saying it. They all have their reasons for it, but none of the reasons are actually evidence-based. You know, they're their own peculiar way of doing intermittent fasting. You know, how effective is intermittent fasting? You know, we really don't know. I mean, does it affect the hormones appreciably? Well, intermittent fasting, calorie restriction, for example, can be quite destructive as far as testosterone, growth hormone, IGF-1, myostatin, all the factors that we actually want at least at a certain age group, we actually want, so we can build up our body, so we can get better body composition, increase muscle mass, increase strength, etc. So, you know, we go back to the genetics that we talked about, you know, maybe a couple of months ago, and you look at health span and lifespan. Now, okay, most people want the two to be really close together. In other words, you want to be healthy up to the point, maybe a couple of days before you actually die. But what is health span? I mean, nobody really has nailed it down. Is it absence of disease, but you're still feeling kind of weak, etc.? I coined the term the anabolic span and the anabolome just recently and got the sites for it. And to me, health span, lifespan really don't say it for me. I think the anabolic span, where you feel invigorated, you're strong, you know, you're healthy, and you also live longer. But the strength aspect, you know, you want to be able to do what you did when you were in your, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, into your 90s. So this is really important for me, and this is what I'm working on now, trying to figure out just what aspects of the genome, epigenome, metabolome, you know, all the omes that are coming out, and now the anabolome, which is mine.
Right.
It's exactly how we can attain just about everything that we want as far as health span. We want to be healthy. Yeah, lifespan, you want to live as long as you can. But also, you want to feel that you're invigorated.
Right.
That you've got the strength, you've got the energy, you can do things, you know. My emphasis and will be for the next several months to figure out just what the genomic, epigenetic, the methylation, and all the pathways that are involved, you know, as you know, mTORC1, et cetera, the IGF-1 pathways, the you know, with growth hormone, the myostatin pathways, the AKTs, there's a variety of pathways that can lead you to a really good body composition, strength and performance and you know, sort of, higher muscle mass, et cetera, achieving that without any of the side effects that sometimes come with that, especially if you're using anabolic steroids and stuff.
No, this is really interesting, because when you think of somebody being healthy, being robust, you think of the ability to continue to add muscle mass if you choose to. And that there are a lot of people who believe that once you get to a certain age, that ceases. And it may cease for a large portion of the population that don't understand the mechanics of building muscle. But I agree with you. I think that living long and being in the throes of life are very, very different things. You can live long in an institution in a wheelchair. But,
of course.
You know, but imagine living to 80 and 90 and hitting the gym and squatting and deadlifting like you are in your 40s and 50s. I mean, that would be the epitome of aging, wouldn't it?
This is exactly what I'm going for. You know, the anabolic span is, to me, a really important concept in the sense that, you know, I want to keep my strength. I want to keep my muscle mass. I want to look, I want to be invigorated. I want to be able to take out the garbage no matter how heavy it is and not have to roll it along, until as long as I can. And that is achievable, you know, but right now.
But Mauro, it's, huh? I gotta say, this is an intriguing idea. And it's one that I'm actually living, right? You know, I'm 58 years old, and I'm adding muscle. I'm getting stronger again. My conditioning is improving. So this is a really hits home for me. But I don't think it can be done without endocrine interventions.
Well, I'm not sure about that. That's what I'm working on. I mean, there are things that you can do naturally. I'm 71 years old. Okay?
Okay.
I'm still lifting. I'm not lifting as much as I did when I was competing, but I'm still lifting. You know, I do a certain amount of aerobics, bike riding, et cetera, and I'm not weak. Okay? I see people my age and
they're frail.
So they have trouble walking. I mean, it's they may be healthy in the sense that there's an absence of real disease, but they're not invigorated. They're not vital.
Okay. I want to take our first commercial break. When we come back, I want to go ahead and split some hairs, right? So a lot of people, whenever they talk about intermittent fasting, if they are opposed to any kind of fasting, they always use the words fasting and famine and starvation interchangeably, but they're very, very different things. So let's set the stage when we come back. Stay tuned.
Category Killer just got upgraded in a big way. New MassPro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. MassPro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation, Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent-pending Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world.
In the world.
Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Mauro, plug your website for everybody.
It's www.mauromd.com. Now, unfortunately, I'm actually coming up with a new master website, which is going to be a lot better than this one. This one is rather truculent. Sometimes it just spins, and sometimes it won't, you know, even though you're in New York City, for example, it says, I can't find your address. So they can email me directly. If they have a problem with the site, they can use Mauro, M-A-U-R-O, at mauromd.com, and let me know if there's a problem. Anyways, there's also a 25% discount on all my supplements for your readers, for your listeners, at just use SHR25.
So I get frustrated when people are talking about intermittent fasting or fasting in general, and they are detracting from the discussion. And the value of fasting is undeniable, in my opinion, because it's an evolutionary gift. The ability to fast is an evolutionary gift. The fact that you can fast and don't lose consciousness, fall down, and become potential food for an animal proves that this was a gift that has come millions of years, and that's why you're still here on the planet. But people love to use the words fasting and starvation interchangeably. They're very, very different, right? I mean, starvation implies death from lack of food for such a long period of time that all organ systems cease to function. And fasting means choosing, maybe not even choosing, but going for a period of time without eating that does not threaten life.
No, you're right. You're 100% right, actually. I think the record for actual fasting before death is something like, believe it or not, 42 or 49 days that people only take in water for that period of time and survived. You know, after that, of course, you know, you become skeletonized and you do die. So yeah, starvation and even calorie restriction you have to be careful with, because how much calorie restriction is there? Are you limited to 200 calories a day, 1,000 calories a day, 500 calories a day, etc.? Long-term calorie restriction is not, I mean, it's been touted because it's supposed to increase longevity and, you know, lifespan, health span, all that stuff. But if you look at it carefully, it actually decreases the anabolic span because it increases growth hormone, IGF-1, testosterone, etc. So that, yeah, you live longer and maybe you have less disease, but you're not vital. You know, so you have to be very careful about that. Now, intermittent fasting, I prefer intermittent eating because there are various ways of doing the intermittent fasting, so-called. In other words, people can, for example, have 500 calories one day, and the next day they have the regular meals and calories. They can do it that way. They can do the 5-2-day diet, which became very popular from that author in England. You can do macronutrient shifting as well as the fasting, which is what I propose with my phase shift dieting, the anabolic and metabolic diets. So there's all kinds of ways of doing it, whether or not you actually do calorie restriction, or whether you actually restrict the number of calories overall, let's say over a period of time. The problem with the intermittent fasting is that there are so many ways of doing it now. Like I said, a new one crops up every day. So, you know, people are very confused about it, but you're right. It's not fasting to death. It's actually modulating your food intake for improved health, improved cognition, improved longevity, improved metabolism, and even obviously weight loss is a big one for intermittent fasting, because as you lose weight, the original diet plan back in 1900, the no breakfast diet, was basically a diet that restricted calories. In the end, people lost weight and they got healthier.
Do you think that there is an end point to the usefulness of fasting, in that a 24-hour fast seems to be okay, but longer fast, not so good? I've done as much as a 3-day fast. Well, that's not true. When I was an idiot in my 20s, I wanted to lose weight, so I did the cleanse diet, which was for 21 days I had nothing but a juice from lemon juice, maple syrup, water, cayenne pepper, and I drank that, and it was a terrible diet. I lost so much muscle on that diet. It was unbelievable. But on average now, the longest I'll fast is 3 days. Do you think that there's an end point to the usefulness of a fast, how long it should be?
No, there's no doubt about that. I think that if you're going to fast, you know, you have to be careful that it all depends on what your end point is, of course. This is why I introduced the anabolone, the anabolomics, and the anabolic span, was that you want to do the fasting in a way that helps you reach your goals, not strictly for health span or lifespan, but also for, you know, maintaining muscle mass, decreasing body fat, increasing energy, you know, and you know, making a more efficient metabolism, etc. So yeah, I think that some of the intermittent fasting techniques that are used, calorie restriction wise, will achieve those things. Anybody who's overweight, obviously, fasting can take place at various intervals, as long as your overall calorie restriction is lowered. Now, some people find it easier, for example, just to skip breakfast. And I did this when I was trying to drop my weight down to 132. Now, you can imagine going from 212 to 132. Is quite a drop. I was like a 2%, 3% body fat. But I would never have breakfast, for example. I'd have coffee. Now, that's the coffee fast.
Right.
And then I'd eat maybe around 1 o'clock, and it would be,
When would you train? Would you train in the morning?
I usually train in the afternoon.
Ah, okay.
But it depended. The reason I trained in the afternoon is because in the morning, you know, I had my practice, et cetera, and I really couldn't, so I would take the time in the afternoon. Sometimes I would train in the morning. I think it's a good idea to train fasting, because at that point, you're actually increasing your GH, IGF-1 levels, it's become more of a common thing. I recommended this a long time ago, that people do aerobic workout, and not eat anything, except maybe taking some protein, I was considered just a silly guy, you know?
Yeah, now fasted cardio is all the rage. And so training fasted is something that I enjoy doing. I haven't been doing it lately, but it's something I've done overall for a very long time. And there's lots of good research out of Canada, out of Stu Phillips' lab.
Yes.
That shows that when you perform resistance exercises while fasted, amino acid pool recirculation becomes more efficient. You don't lose. It's not catabolic like everyone thinks it is, and not at all. Now, you may not build muscle, but you're not going to lose muscle training fasted.
No, you're right. You're right. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the body adapts. It kicks in. You're working out. You're exercising. You're working out in the field or whatever you're doing. The body will acclimatize to that and make sure that the anabolic hormones are elevated, especially the GH and IGF-1 are elevated to the point where you maintain the muscle mass. This is pure physiology. I mean, it's something we can easily understand. And this is something I want to incorporate into the what I'm trying to do as far as anabolic lifespan. And I'm going to work out. I mean, there's so many things to work out that it's going to take me quite a while. Right now, as you know, there's very little use besides, you know, the snake oil genomic shops that are cropping up all over the place. Nobody takes into account the epigenetics, methylation, what actually is expressed, what you actually are now, as against what you would be if it was strictly, you know, the hardwired genetics. So you want to incorporate the pathways. You want to incorporate certain pathways that lead to skeletal muscle hypertrophy or maintenance of that, pathways where you're losing body fat so that your body composition improves, pathways where your performance, whether it's strength or endurance performance, improves, and trying to organize all these various pathways. And this takes into account transcriptomics, proteomics. There's even exposomics, which means your exposure to environmental pollutants and how that affects the hormones and pathways in your body. So very, very complicated. But I see a light, but it's going to take time.
So a lot of the people that will listen to this show are huge fans of the ketogenic diet, another thing that you've been talking about for well over 30 years, way before it was popular. What I'd like to do in this next segment is address using fasting as part of either getting into ketosis or augmenting a ketogenic diet. And then I also want to talk about supplements that one should consider when fasting. If the goal is to maintain muscle mass and lose body fat, which obviously dovetails nicely into the ketogenic discussion as well, okay? Sit tight. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest high protein potato chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I like to move it, move it.
Welcome back. How you like me now? So the ketogenic diet is all the rage, but 30, 35 years ago when Dr. Mario DePasquale was writing about it and telling bodybuilders to try it, to actually get bigger, it flew in the face of common wisdom back then, which was eat everything and anything if you wanted to get big. In fact, it was Dr. DePasquale that came on my show probably in 2006 and said something that startled a lot of people, but then years later became common knowledge, and that was, if you don't want the anabolic window to close, don't eat carbs post-workout. Because eating carbs post-workout spikes insulin and bam, the anabolic window closes. But if you don't eat carbs but eat proteins and fats throughout the day, you'll replenish glycogen inevitably by the next day's workout. But the anabolic effect will be prolonged. Remember when you said that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I still say it actually. I'm going more into, again, as I explain, into the actual reasons for why this happens along the genetic, epigenetic, metabolome, the proteome, all the things that go down to, the actual instigators, how they affect all these things, and then the final end result. I mean, after all, you can go through all this theoretical stuff, and when you try it in reality, you find you're losing muscle mass and you're gaining body fat. I mean, all these things have to face reality at some point.
So let's talk about fasting and its role in the ketogenic diet. How do you see fasting being exploited by those who are embracing a ketogenic lifestyle?
Well, a ketogenic diet basically is a very, very low-carb diet to the point where your body starts producing, obviously there's no carbohydrates available except through gluconeogenesis, and that comes mainly from proteins and the glycerol from breaking down body fat. But basically, the fatty acids are released from the body. I mean, according to the way I have it, I have people go on a very, very strict ketogenic type diet for the first couple of weeks. Now, your body missing carbohydrates, and it'll produce some carbohydrates or some glucose, I should say, from the other factors. As a matter of fact, I have a theory where you can actually form glucose from two carbon units from the oxidation of fatty acids, but that's another story. So what happens is your body then goes to breaking down fat into small bodies called ketones, and these ketones are used for energy by all parts of the body, including the brain. So that you're not starving and you're doing quite well, you're using up the fat in your body, and this is why I use a 2-week induction phase in my metabolic diet and anabolic diet, because that gets your body used to using, and I don't restrict calories or fats in that 2-week phase, but I do restrict carbohydrates completely. So your body then at that point gets used to burning fat as its primary fuel, so that when you stop the 2-week phase and you go on to the other phase of the metabolic anabolic diet, your body then starts using body fat, because you've now changed your genomic input and epigenetic input to the point where the enzymes and pathways are now used to burning body fat. And if you don't provide it in the diet as much, and if you don't give it carbs, then it has to use your body fat, either the subcutaneous or the visceral body fat as its primary fuel. And this is the way it works in improving body composition. Staying on a strict ketogenic diet all the time is also useful, but it tends to be somewhat more catabolic to the muscles in the long term than the metabolic diet. And that's why I made the changes I made as far as allowing carbs every once in a while to replenish the carbohydrates in the body, but still having your body use fat as its primary fuel, because even though you may take in carbs, what happens with the carbs is it will build up some glycogen in the muscle, and this allowing you some anaerobic power as well as aerobic power as against a straight ketogenic diet, which might decrease your ability for anaerobic power. So, but it's complex. I mean, I'm making it very simple here, but there's a lot of extensions and things that need to be clarified.
So I eat a very low carbohydrate diet as a rule. I tend to focus more on yams, oatmeal, and green vegetables. And I would estimate that on an average day, I'm getting around 60 grams of carbs, not much more than that. And so, and I thrive. I thrive. And I'm going to be a little vulgar and say that I monitor everything about my body, including my stool. And I can tell what diet is working for me and what diet's not by looking at the stool before I flush the toilet. I know. I'm like, wow, this is right for me. I'm just one of those people. Maybe I'm a little weird. But anyway.
I don't think you're weird at all, actually, because don't forget, the stool also is first of all, it's indicative of what passes through your body and what's processed, what's not processed. It's also indicative of the microbiota. In other words, just how the colonic bacteria, viruses, and other organisms are handling the food that's left over and brought into the colon, and how they're handling that food and how it affects you. So no, I think that's a good idea. People should look at their stools and see, is it changing? What's happening? Is it darker? Is it lighter? Is it floating? Is it not floating? There are indications for all these things as to just how well your body's doing.
And my interpretation of floating is that there's fat in your stool.
Yeah, because fat will come to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason I say this is because on Tuesday of this past week, we started cooking for Thanksgiving, and I started eating like I was in Thanksgiving mode. And from Tuesday to Saturday, no, I'm sorry, from Tuesday to Friday, I gained 12 pounds. Now, this is not fat. This is all water, because I was eating copious amounts of sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes and desserts, sweet desserts, and everything that I was, breads and pastas and everything. 12 pounds of water. I've already lost 3 pounds this morning by shifting back to a low-carb diet just yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I predict that by Wednesday, these 12 pounds will be out of me. But it's an amazing phenomenon When you eat a low-carb diet for years, and then you eat a high-carb couple days and just go crazy, the overflow of fluid in the body, is that... Now, Mauro, I know that people say this is because carbohydrates attract water, but how much of it is actually from edema? That because we know carbohydrates are inflammatory.
Actually, that's an interesting comment. A number of interesting comments you've made. I find people that are on the anabolic metabolic diet where they are allowed some carbs, and it depends on how you're structured. And I'm talking about, again, all the genetic aspects. Some people will actually gain, just like you say, over 2 days, they'll gain, you know, 10, 12 pounds, and then they have to lose that weight over the next week or whatever term they use to, you know, for the carb and low carb periods. But, you know, they actually will gain the weight and then they'll lose it. So they have to really, really figure out just how their body handles carbs. There are people that can handle carbs, like you say, over a period of time you gain 12 pounds. There are people that might only gain a couple pounds, and there are people that might gain 15 pounds. It depends on how you structure it. Now, carbs attract water, obviously. A certain amount of that is going to be, believe it or not, it will be some body fat. And you'll probably increase a bit of muscle as well because of the excessive eating over those days. But you lose the water first. I figure it's going to take you at least a week to get down to what you were before.
Okay, but do you think any portion of it is edema? Look, everything that we eat has a level of toxicity. Carbohydrates and sugars seem to be the most toxic of all the things that we eat. They actually cause the greatest chronic inflammatory response in the body of all the macronutrient of all the sources of food that we have. How much of that is pure edema?
But I mean, anytime you increase fluid in the body, it's going to be intracellular and extracellular fluid. Extracellular fluid, if it's excessive, will produce edema. So that even pitting edema, where especially in the lower part of the leg, you can actually push against the tibial bone, and it'll go in, you know, a quarter inch to half an inch, and you know it's puckered, and you know you've got a lot of edema, and that's inevitable. And I think you're right about the toxicity. I mean, simple sugars are toxic. There's no doubt about that. Excessive amounts of simple sugars, which our society now is really into, maybe they're becoming a little more educated about it, but there's still, you know, excessive amounts of pop and calories, Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola. I mean, they have huge influences on the pharmaceutical and in other industries. You know, their donations make people more, shall we say, amenable to their suggestions of drinking Coke. They're even saying things like, it's actually healthy for you. I mean, yeah. The marketing is so devious, it's ridiculous. But yeah, edema, no doubt about it. Yeah, the more carbs. But that edema, as you keep on the higher carb diet, will tend to decrease. It's just that the immediate switch from the low carb and all of a sudden huge high carb for 2 or 3 days will cause your body to react that way. It can't handle it. It takes time for the epigenetic changes to occur so that you get used to the diet.
Interesting. You don't lose,
by the way, by going on that for 2 or 3 days. You don't really lose the effects of the low carb diet, because your body will immediately turn back. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before. My own theory is that the epigenetic tags are left behind. So even though changes take place in the epigenome so that you're more used to, let's say, using carbs, when you go back on the low-carb diet, your body adjusts much faster than if you were starting from scratch, because these tags allow the connections to occur much more rapidly.
Interesting. And this is probably why those of us who've been experimenting with ketosis for years produce ketones so quickly. When I went out to California to visit with Quest, not this time but the time before, I had fasted for 16 hours, and I ate the day before, and really all I ate was fat because I was traveling, and I had macadamia nuts with me. That's what I was eating. Mm-hmm. And we checked our blood ketone levels, and I was 1.6, and that was just after a 16-hour fast. And I am one of those people who can go for long periods of time without food. My theory is that I have been fooling around with intermittent fasting and ketosis really for the better part of 10 years now. that mm-hmm. when I want to, but if I go without food for even a short period of time, my body starts to produce ketones pretty quickly.
It's interesting. You know, the whole thing about ketonuria is interesting because, again, depending on how you're made, we won't go into all the details, but how you are in the world right now, the ketones may or may not show up in the urine because you may be very efficient at using the ketones as an energy source, so there's no spillover. Now, initially, people that just start a ketogenic diet and are very strict will have a spillover of ketones. The body really hasn't gotten used to using all the ketones for energy yet, so it spills it over and throws it out of the body. But as you become more accustomed, and some people, of course, don't even show ketones at first, even though they have no carbs for a long period of time, because the body, again, is efficient in utilizing the ketones as an energy source. It doesn't need to spill it over.
So blood serum levels of ketones is not indicative of actually using those ketones.
No, because the blood levels are circulating ketones. If there's an excessive amount and the body can't utilize it, then it's going to toss it in the urine. And that's when you get your ketonuria. In other words, these little dipsticks they use for testing the urine to see if there's ketosis.
So really, you should do both then. So in other words, you should check blood levels of ketones and urine levels of ketones and try to ascertain how much you're actually using.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. If you can get blood levels, you're way farther ahead than just using the urinary ketones. I have people that countless emails over the years saying, I'm really, really, really strict, but I can't get any ketones in my urine. It always shows up as if there's no ketones. I said, don't worry about it. Not a big deal. It all depends on how you handle it, how efficient you are. And this, you know, I consider the genome, you know, the whole hardwired DNA, as a resource. It's not who you are. It's a resource that you can go to make changes that need to be changed so that you can function differently.
How about we take a break and come back and talk about supplements? Are there supplements that benefit fasting and maybe even dovetail into ketosis? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Coupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced.
Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym?
You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
All I wanna do is and take your money.
Third world democracy.
And take your money.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale. Plug your website again, Mauro.
That's www.mauromd.com.
If you don't know who Dr. Mauro DiPasquale is, and I doubt that there's anybody who hasn't heard his name before, I want to tell you that 30 to 35 years ago, Mauro was preaching the benefits of the ketogenic diet and intermittent fasting way before it was popular. Everybody raised their eyebrows at him because it was counterintuitive. It was like, no, we're bodybuilders. We're powerlifters. We need to eat a lot. We need to eat a lot of carbs. What's this nonsense about going without food? How is that going to help me? And people didn't understand the role of insulin sensitivity, the role of metabolic debris management. All of these different things that Mauro was talking about 35 years ago. And now all of a sudden everybody's into ketogenic diets. Everybody's into intermittent fasting. It's like, I want to talk about supplements, but I have to ask you, do you ever feel like you didn't get the credit you should have gotten because you were so far ahead of the curve 35 years ago?
Well, actually, not only didn't I get the credit, but I got the ridicule. People, even in the medical profession were, up to the point where they were going to pull my license. It was heresy at the point. I mean, decreasing carbs, increasing fats, increasing protein were all thought to be heretic when I brought it out. And it did. It caused a lot of problems. It didn't affect me, though, because I say what I say, you know, and if people don't like it, it's too bad.
And I want to just invoke this one brief story. I want you to give me the Reader's Digest version. And I know it's an athlete that you can't mention his name. But there is an athlete that you took up to 300 and something pounds on the anabolic diet at one point in time. And all he was eating was fat and protein, right?
That's correct.
So these people who think that you can't build muscle without carbohydrates, they would just, I mean, how do you argue with that? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Carbohydrates aren't necessary. I mean, your body can make carbohydrates. You can't make essential amino acids. It can't make essential fatty acids. It can use fat instead of carb as a primary fuel. I mean, there are so many aspects of carbohydrate metabolism which people consider essential, which really aren't essential. You need a certain level. I mean, there are certain, like red blood cells, et cetera, that depend on carbs for energy, because they don't have Krebs cycle or the citric acid cycle or various names that it's cycled in order to produce oxidative ATP. So they depend on glycolysis to produce small amounts of fast ATP for their energy. But for the rest of the body, you really don't need the carbs. You don't need the glucose. Now, your body can produce glucose in a variety of ways, and most of the amino acids, for example, can eventually be turned into glucose either through hepatic or even muscular mechanisms, but mostly through the liver. If you really need it, if your body really needs it for something, you can make it. But you don't have to have it in your diet, and you can make it from the other macronutrients.
Any supplements that lend themselves to opportunistically to fasting and or the ketogenic diet?
Well, there are a number of supplements. Any supplements that increase the adrenergic response, in other words, the adrenaline response in your body. Any supplements that uncouple oxidative phosphorylation. Basically, what that means is they, instead of producing ATP, you offset it and produce heat. So at that point, you need more of the ketones. You need more of the breakdown of body fat. Even substances that help mitigate decreased testosterone levels will help that, because at that point you're increasing protein synthesis. Protein synthesis requires energy, and that requires more energy. If you're not providing it in the form of carbs, you have to provide it in the form of ketones, and you break down body fat to make the protein. I mean, this is ideal. I mean, for body composition. Can you imagine? In order to make muscle, you have to break down fat. I mean, you know, what's more perfect than that?
Right. So, I openly talk about this on the air. I generally stay at around a gram of testosterone a week. And I have a prescription. I do use growth hormone, but very, very small amounts. You know, a couple IUs 5 days a week.
Right.
So if I were to fast for a prolonged period of time, let's say a week,
mm-hmm.
would those two therapies minimize the catabolic effects of fasting for me?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. What you're doing, you know, it's interesting, because a lot of the research and a lot of new drugs and all that kind of stuff that have come up are interjection points. In other words, you have a whole long process going from your hardwired DNA to the softwired DNA, which is what I call epigenetics now, by the way, and into the pathways and all the things that produce a certain result. If you pick a point near the end, you're actually aborting most of the stuff that came beforehand. So, yeah, so if in fact you go on a prolonged fast, which would naturally decrease testosterone, increase myostatin, decrease the growth hormone IGF-1 axis, and do a number of things, taking them exogenously actually is beneficial. Because at that point, you're actually introducing something into the body that you're going to be lacking to keep up the anabolic response that you want.
What about my 60 milligrams of Armour Thyroid? Is that also beneficial in a fast?
Yeah, Armour Thyroid is very interesting, actually. You know, at one time, well, I shouldn't say at one time, right now, T4 is the drug of choice for people who have low thyroid. But in fact, a recent study has shown that a lot of, and they assume that T4 is naturally cycled to T3 and T4, so there's an interaction between the two, so that you get enough P3 to make up, you know, for any you didn't take if you're just taking T4. But now they're finding, in fact, that a lot of people that have adequate levels of T4 don't have adequate levels of T3. Armour Thyroid actually gives you both, which at one time was considered almost heresy, because levothyroxine was the treatment of choice and still is for physicians, as against using something which has both T3 and T4. Yeah, so Armour Thyroid is great.
What about things like L-carnitine? You've spoken extensively about L-carnitine on my show in the past. It seems to cause mitochondria to prefer triglycerides, which obviously it gets from fats. Is this a good supplement for people to take if they're fasting?
Yes, definitely. There's no doubt about it. And as far as the TMAO, the toxic byproduct of the microbiota that's changed into actually, TMA is what the microbiota produce, and it's going into the body and change to TMAO. That is very confusing to people. They're saying that it increases cardiovascular disease, increases all kinds of problems, when in fact, it all depends on the kind of diet you're on and how do you use that substance. So it's very complicated, but it's also very confusing, because people that don't know will actually take the point of view that they should keep off animal fats, they should keep off animal foods, protein, they should go off beef, because all this stuff is causing increased cardiovascular. You know, it's almost funny, because you're taking very limited experimental results under very specific circumstances, usually using rodents, etc., and then applying it to the human who has a totally different environment, a totally different intake as far as the changes that take place in his body under the environment he's in, and making generalized statements. Now, these are the kind of things I'll be writing on in my new master site when it comes online, hopefully in about 2 or 3 weeks.
right, I want to take our last commercial break, and what I'd like to do is I'd like you to wrap it up with what you think are the most important messages that people who embrace caloric restriction, intermittent fasting, and fasting in general, and even dovetail into ketogenic diets, need to take away from this discussion. Stay tuned.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise With Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
A legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compound. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. Iron Mag Labs, revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mauro DiPasquale about fasting, intermittent fasting, calorie restriction, the ketogenic diet. You can't talk about one without the other, quite frankly. So what do you think, what are the new paradigms in this discussion that maybe haven't been discussed previously?
Mauro? I'll tell you something. I was asked that very same question, actually, about probably 15 years ago by, I think it was Muscle and Fitness. And they said, what is the upcoming diet? What's going to be new on the horizon that's going to be effective for people who want to maintain muscle mass, body composition, obviously, lose body fat, increase strength, performance, etc. And at that time, people had some kind of weird answers, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to put in my phase shift dieting because I think that it's an ideal kind of diet for people who want everything they want and still maintain their muscle mass, performance, etc. And going into the anabolomics, which I'll be going into great detail in my new site. But couple that with intermittent eating or intermittent fasting, depending on how you do it, you've got the macronutrient the right macronutrient composition, and then you've got what you want to do as far as weight loss, etc. Now, this is covered in my book, but it's covered under different phases. One is called the induction phase. Second one is the cutting phase, as I call it for bodybuilders, changes in the metabolic diet into sort of weight loss body composition phase. And at that time, you can, and I tell people this, you experiment to find out what works best for your body. It's very important to experiment because then you can realize what's working, what's not working. It's somewhat like your stools. You can tell by your stools what kind of diet is working for you, what kind of diet is not working for you. Other people may not be able to do that, but they can certainly take it by endpoints, okay? So let's do body fat levels. Let's do biomarkers that are very easy to do. Strength. Are you increasing your skeletal muscle mass? Is your performance improving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? So experiment. This is so important, and I've said this for, I don't know, 45, 50 years. And experiment also with the various supplements, the nutritional supplements. There have been recent research that has shown that multi-ingredient, and my supplements are super multi-ingredient, are much more efficient than single or a small number of ingredients. Of course, it depends on what you want to achieve. If it's to maintain testosterone, growth hormone, et cetera, then you'll choose whatever works best. But it's so individual. Everybody is their own universe, Carl. Everybody is unique. Right. And you have to find out what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Now, for some people, a ketogenic diet, staying on a ketogenic diet, may not work well at all. Because, in fact, they may lose a lot of muscle mass. Some people may do fantastic on it. It's the way they're built, the way they're able to change their actual pathways and genomics and can accommodate that certain kind of diet. So there's not a lot that I can tell people, but I'm going heavily into the research and also extrapolation, things I did many, many years ago as well, into new realms, which I intend to introduce over the next at least 6 months.
So couple of last questions. A lot of people believe that a 16-hour fast is the optimal number of hours to fast, taking advantage of all the benefits of fasting. Are there shorter? Is it possible that a 12-hour fast is adequate if someone stops eating at 6 p.m. and doesn't have their first meal till breakfast at 6 a.m.?
It depends. It could work very well for them. The no-breakfast diet that was written 116 years ago basically was like a 9-hour fast because you don't start eating until 1 o'clock and you end around 10, I mean, whether or not you have your 2-3 meals at that time, no snacking in between meals. This was all laid out over 100 years ago. And of course, this physician at the time that he was writing, I mean, there were a lot of misconceptions, even much more than there are now, obviously. We know a lot more about processes in the body, metabolism, et cetera, but he was right in a lot of ways. But he was scorned, ridiculed, and he just stuck to his guns. There was another person before then that wrote a book on fasting, and this book on fasting was written around 1868 or so, and it was for prolonged fasts, up to several weeks or shorter fasts, and showed the benefits of fasting under certain conditions. It's back 100 and some odd years ago, and even now, you see it in cancer patients, they try and force these people to eat, keep up your strength, eat. In fact, some of these people would be doing better doing intermittent fasting, decreasing their calorie intake rather than increasing. I mean, what's the body trying to do when it shuts down your ability to eat? It's trying to kill the cancer.
Interesting.
And if you this whole business about cancer utilizing only glucose for glycolysis, that's been turned around in its head. Cancer can accommodate a lot of different energy sources as well.
Yeah, glutamine,
yeah, but not only that, but fats. There are some cancers now, there's some research now showing that they can change their and use the ketones, believe it or not.
Really?
So it's a changing subject. There's so many things involved. And
well, do you think what we're seeing is the evolution of cancer? Are we not seeing evolutionary selection pressure? So cancers are being threatened with ketones, and there are some cancers that are going to survive because they'll adapt.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you think about the adapting we do with pathogens, bacteria, viruses, and stuff. We come up with a treatment for them, kills them off. They come up with something that says, well, you're not going to kill us anymore because we've changed.
Yep, it's all about survival.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of it's on survival. But on the other hand, what I'm after is not just survival. I don't care about lifespan, if you want to know the truth. You know, I don't want to live to be 120 and be in a wheelchair for 50 years.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Man, that's great, you know, as close to lifespan as you can. Anabolic span now, which I'm going to be introducing in detail over the next while, is even more important to me than both lifespan and health span.
Well, think about it. Well, think about it for a second. In the context of youth and aging.
Exactly.
When we think of youthfulness, we think of an ability to build a robust body to bounce back from illness and challenges. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we're talking about is an anabolism. We're talking about the ability to grow tissue, new tissue, and additional tissue. When we think about aging, we think about frailty, withering, weakening, shrinking. It's catabolic. Aging is catabolic. So you're really onto something here, I believe.
Yeah, I am. And it's going to be, you know, I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flack from this as well, because a lot of people believe, for example, that increasing growth hormone IGF-1 as you age actually increases cancer. And you got to be very careful about this, because it all depends on the environment that you introduce all these things into as to whether or not you're going to have negative or positive effects. And this is what I'm figuring out.
You know, I've talked about this in the past on the show. You know, this notion that growth hormone is harmful because it promotes cancer growth. It promotes all cellular growth. It promotes the growth of healthy tissue. So why would you starve healthy tissue to kill some unhealthy cells? The other thing is that there's a group in Israel, you know, from an anti-aging standpoint, growth hormone has not been an anti-aging drug. Just so everybody knows this, because in rodents and humans that overproduce growth hormone, as in acromegaly or pituitary adenomas, they have much shorter lifespans than their counterparts who do not overproduce growth hormone. So it's always been thought that while growth hormone could enable the body to repair faster and better, but it actually may speed aging. Well, now a group in Israel just published a study that linked telomere length to the GH-IGF-1 axis.
Mm-hmm,
and the problem may be we get IGF-1 from our diet, and we get IGF-1 as a downstream metabolite from growth hormone. And when we get not enough growth hormone and too much IGF-1, this is when it may age us. But when we have the appropriate ratio of growth hormone to IGF-1, it actually improves telomere length. That means it makes us younger. So, like everything else in science, it's never what we think it is. It's always more complicated.
You got to also look at this aspect of growth hormone and IGF-1. I mean, it may be detrimental to someone who has cancer. Whether or not it increases the incidence of cancer is very controversial in the first place. The aspect of telomere length, yeah, I've read that, and there's a mouse, and it's a weird name for the mouse, where as they age, the telomere length actually increases, but their growth hormone IGF-1 levels also increase, and this goes along with the study you were mentioning. So it's up in the air right now. You can, by changing the environment, by changing the way you are, what you're doing, make either bad or good choices as to how it's going to affect your anabolic lifespan, so to speak, you know, as well as your health span and lifespan. It's all very interesting. It's all very complicated, but it's going to be worked out.
If listeners have questions for you directly, how can they reach you?
I think they can reach me at the email, Moro. At morormd.com.
M-A-U-R-O at M-A-U-R-O-M-D.com.
That's right.
There you go. So you have his email. Send him a question.
All right.
Mauro, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, talk soon. And that's all we've got for today. We don't have a second guest, and I'm glad because I got a lot of work to do in the studio. So we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.